This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And we just realized in the chaos of our day, Anthony, we haven't had lunch yet.
Oh, man. No.
It's okay. I'll figure it out. Luckily, I'm operating from the home base today for reasons that will become clear in just a little bit. But, yeah, I can go raid my own fridge. It'll be okay. You have to be quick, though. Commercial breaks. Not that long. But coming up at 4:30 today, we have a nice chat with Sean McDonough of ESPN. He's going to join us ahead of tonight's Game 5 between the Capitals and the Canadiens. And then at 5 o'clock, the reason that I'm at home today is because speaking of things that are long, unlike the commercial breaks where I'm going to have to try to figure out how to eat some lunch, Sam Fortier popped by this afternoon, and we recorded a big old long podcast-length chat about the RFK Stadium pursuit, all the ins and outs, all the different things that you want to know. So Sam and I talked for probably 45, 50 minutes, and we're going to chop that up into two pieces for you over the next 2 days on the radio, so you'll hear that part one today at 5 o'clock. We'll also put the full thing uninterrupted on YouTube at Craig Hoffman and at the Team 980. But part one of our chat is today, 5 o'clock, here on the show. Beyond that, NBA playoffs is probably the big story, Anthony. And, man, you called it yesterday as we were, the Bucks are up big. They're holding on. And you go, they're still going to lose. Why were you so confident? And then we can get to why you were right.
To be honest, like, we talked about it yesterday. Indiana's offense, they've just been clicking on all cylinders. And to be honest, it just took, you know, I guess the last three quarters for that offense to, you know, start to get going. And that's essentially what happened. Also, I think the Bucks, they sort of just ran out of juice, energy at the end of the game. Like, I feel like when you play so many minutes, fatigue eventually starts to kick in. And some of the turnovers that they had late in those games were just, I think it was just fatigue. Because there's no way I can just pass you the ball, you're wide open, and you just lose all types of concentration and the ball just slips through your hands, or you forget that, hey, this is the NBA. You cannot get trapped in the corner on an inbound. And I don't know. I just feel like when you're fatigued, sometimes your mental you forget some
things. You're it's 100% what happens. Yeah. Like your central nervous system, which is the mechanism that connects your brain to your body, it gets tired. It gets fatigued. And when your body is tired, like, those signals don't travel as well. They don't get to where they're supposed to be. And, like, that's science for you. And so, yeah, 1,000%. It's not weakness. It's not, like, anything other than you've asked your body to do too much and you're out of gas at the end. And that is 1,000% part of this equation of the Bucks just absolutely not only falling apart from the big lead that they had, but they're up 6 with 40 seconds to go?
8.
7?
8 with 35 seconds.
What was it? What, was it 118, 110?
Oh, no, they were up 7. They were up 7.
I thought it was 118, 111.
Yeah.
So 118, 111, 40 seconds to go, and they blow it overtime, or not even overtime. or yeah, no, they go to overtime, and then Halliburton gets the game winner there on getting to his right hand, and everyone just couldn't believe that they led him to his right hand. But that's what happens when you're fatigued. The other guy's better. And I think with the Bucks, the thing that's like mind blowing is they did this to themselves in so many ways. I get the Dame trade to an extent. And obviously, they've been tremendously unlucky with Damian Lillard. But he was also hurt at the end of his career in Portland, and you took that risk. Giving up Jrue Holiday was so dumb. And this is the thing that like kind of blows my mind is I feel like there are so many teams in professional sports that don't understand what make them good. And what made the Bucks a championship-level team was, sure, they have one of the best five players in the world playing at the peak of his powers in Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they still do, right? Like, Giannis in this series was unbelievable. His numbers were insane, and they still lost. They didn't get swept. It was 3-1 or 4-1, right? Yeah, it was 4-1 by the end of it. So they get a gentleman's sweep 4-1, despite the fact that one of the three best players on the planet played like one of the three best players on the planet. But they have no depth. Their scoring is very haphazard, and you can point to Lillard for that. But they used to be great defensively. Great, 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 great. And it was because they had maybe the best defender in the league in Giannis, who can do everything and guard anyone, and the best perimeter defender in the league in Holiday. And they gave up that thing that made them special, especially in the playoffs when the game slows down and it's a little more isolation-y at times, where you could stick Giannis or Holiday on basically anyone. And then they had their schematics let Brooke Lopez protect the rim, and they gave that up for more scoring. And I just think that was a very stupid decision. Like, at the time, I was like, I get trading for Dame, but I don't like this. I don't think that anytime Jrue Holiday is leaving your team, that's a bad decision. And I think a team like the Celtics was like, hell yeah, we can get Jrue Holiday. And that is the thing that I think happens in the NBA more than maybe any other league, is teams don't realize who's worth paying for, who's not. And at times, I think, don't even recognize the powers of their own talent. And whether it's ego or whatever, they get rid of Bud, despite the fact that he's winning 60 games every year. They get rid of Jrue Holiday, even though he was the second most important player on that championship team. And now they're just a middling Eastern Conference team that is staring down the barrel of a summer where the best thing for their future might be training Giannis Antetokounmpo. I still don't think that's the case. I know there was some articles that were written that's like, this is the only way out. If you're trading Giannis, you're trying to get Giannis back. And maybe it's on a different timeline, and maybe that's worth it. They're just cooked, and they can't maximize the Giannis timeline, so they're better off trading him now versus holding on to him too long. But I would not trade him. There's basically no circumstance where I would trade him. Unless you're telling me that the team with the number, like, if the Wizards win the lottery, and the Wizards will give you the number one pick and let you take Cooper Flagg, okay, now we can listen. Now we have an offer that I'm at least interested in. Outside of that, I don't care how many first round picks I get. Like, I'm not interested. I'm trying to build something around Giannis. But they had the thing around Giannis, and they let it go. And that was dumb, I guess, is my point here.
Did you just pitch Wizards trading potentially number one overall pick to?
I wouldn't do that if I was a Wizards. Like, okay, that's all due respect. Like, if Cooper Flagg is as good as we think that he is, and by the way, I don't think the Wizards, like, there's almost no trade where you wouldn't be like, yeah, we'll give that up for Giannis. And then by the same token, like, that's the one of the two trades. Like, I wouldn't trade Jokic for Giannis. I wouldn't trade, and that, like, Denver and Milwaukee, because of what he means to those two guys mean to those franchises, they would both say no. Steph Curry, obviously. Like, if you wanted to be really, really cruel, because Steph's 37 and Giannis is like 29, then, okay, you could make the argument there, but, like, no, because he means too much. It just feels like bad karma. And there's just not a lot of players where, or not a lot of deals where I'd be like, yeah, I'm not giving that up if I'm getting Giannis in return. The rights to draft Cooper Flagg would be one of them.
Yeah.
But if I'm Milwaukee, like, the same is true the other way. I'm giving up Giannis for almost, like, seven picks. like the Kawhi trade, or I should say the Paul George trade.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not interested in that deal because the best thing that happens is I get a Giannis. But if I know that, if I'm pretty sure I'm getting one in Cooper Flagg, that becomes a different conversation. So hopefully that's something we never find out because the Wizards just get that pick and they're like, we're good and everybody can buzz off.
Yep.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. A little bit more on the NBA side of things next, and maybe we'll touch on the Commanders kicker situation as well. They signed Matt Gay. We didn't get a chance to talk about that yesterday. But the Knicks blow a chance to advance last night. Will they grow to regret that? We'll talk about it next here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. And we'll be joined by Sean McDonough coming up at 4:30. Anthony, where'd he go to school?
Should I take a good guess?
You should know, but go ahead and take your guess.
Syracuse University.
That is correct. He's a part of the Mafia.
Oh, yeah.
An OG Don of the Syracuse Mafia. I mean, not really. Like, the OG Don of the Syracuse Mafia was Marty Glickman, who went to school in, like, the 1930s. But, like, of the modern Syracuse Mafia, Sean was there before, like, Tirico, and, like, 10 years before Tirico and Ian were.
So he definitely wouldn't claim the Mafia. Because isn't the Mafia, like, something new? Like, 2010 and on?
No, I mean...
Because I asked Scott Abraham.
It's definitely more older than that.
Okay. All right.
At least I kind of feel like starting with like Tirico and Ian and that crew in the 90s. Okay. And then there's like a good crew in the early 2000s of guys that went into various things. You know, DA, our pal Damon Amendolara, who's dominating on the sports talk scene. He was really good friends with Andrew Catalan, who calls games for CBS, both in the NCAA tournament and for the NFL. I think he was involved in the Masters coverage this year as well and has been for the last couple. Anish Shroff, play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers, who many folks know from ESPN's college football coverage. Like, he was 2004, so... Yeah, there's Danny Parkins from Breakfast Ball on Fox Sports 1, Nick Wright. So that gets us through like 20. Danny was 2010. I'm 2012, along with Kevin Brown, a voice of the Orioles, 2011.
Nick Phil Wright Spalding. Is Syracuse?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dang. Hey, look, we really do got a mafia.
Yeah, we're around. Anyway, the point is Sean McDonough is going to join us at 4:30. Last night. On the call was Ian Eagle in New York as the Knicks took on the Pistons. And good for the Pistons for closing the game out.
Fine.
Because they certainly looked like they were about to... I was like, are you seriously about to blow this game? Are you seriously about to have this for the what feels like the fifth straight game, even though they won one of them? What is it? Defeat snatched from the jaws of victory?
Yep.
But they were able to close it out. And... I mean, there's great shot making from the Knicks down the stretch, but you know they just did enough. And you know the thing is, like Detroit now at 3-2 going home, trying to break the longest home losing streak in the history of the NBA. They lost 9 straight home playoff games, which is an NBA record. And they've been the better team the entire series. They just haven't been able to close out these games. And you know, you see the way that like Asar Thompson's able to get in the paint last night. How many dunks did he have last night?
I don't know. K just kept finding him in the dunker spot, though.
And what are you doing? But the Knicks just have this ability. And whether it's Towns hitting 30-footers, Brunson doing Brunson things, and Mikal Bridges hits this really tough pull-up three, they're able to just keep you within reach and then make crazy big plays late. And the Pistons saved them off, but I would not be surprised at all if the Pistons win game 6 and we're back at Madison Square Garden for a game 7.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I think this series has been so neck and neck, and the fact that you just mentioned they had one victory actually taken away from them because the foul wasn't called, but I think it just shows who this Pistons team is. Like, they're going to fight and claw literally every minute of every game. And yesterday, Cade, you know, he was able to just make some plays down the stretch. And actually, in the fourth quarter, I'm surprised Tom Thibodeau didn't call a timeout. He had Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart sitting out. They had walked to the scores table because both of them got banged up. They went to the locker room. They went to the scores table at 2 minutes. Craig, they didn't enter the game until it was 27 seconds left in the game. Valuable possessions down the stretch that you didn't have your best player on the court, and then also Josh Hart. So I think sort of kind of it was on Tibbs, but shout out to Cade because he was able to make some plays down the stretch. And I'm looking forward to game six. I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. I didn't get a chance to watch any of the other games yesterday. Did you watch any of the Nuggets Clippers game last night?
I watched the Celtics and Magic game, and that game just got out of
that
hand.
That got real nasty.
Like Paolo's fifth foul though. Like they even challenged it and all, but him picking up his fifth foul just it was bad. And then the Celtics went on like a 30-9 run to end the third quarter, and just like. That is the Celtics in a nutshell. Like
that's the thing. NBA games are 48 minutes long, and boy, do you feel that. Any team in the league, from the Utah Jazz up to the Boston Celtics, they can compete with any other team. The Utah Jazz can compete with the Boston Celtics for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes, sometimes for 24, sometimes for 36. By the end of 48, especially in a seven-game series, you're going to see who the better team is. And sometimes it doesn't take that long. Sometimes it's Heat and Cavs the other night.
Yeah, that was
and it's it starts bad in the middle and ends somehow even worse, and you lose by 55.
Yeah.
But often it is like this where it's a pretty close game at halftime. Magic win the first quarter, they're up at halftime, and then they lose the third quarter 36-13. That's the NBA. As Steve Levy used to say on SportsCenter, everybody makes a run. And then in the nightcap, Clippers Nuggets last night, Nuggets get game five at home, 131-115. They score over 30 in every single quarter of this game, but also defensively, they hold the Nuggets under 25 in the first and third quarters. Jamal Murray, 43 points, 7 assists, 3 steals. Anthony, did you actually get to watch this game, or do you want me to just read more stats from the box score?
Oh, no.
Because these numbers seem rather relevant.
Yeah, I watched the game. I think the numbers will add, you know, some more context to it. But Jamal Murray, he just couldn't miss. Like, big shot after big shot, and they just kept leaving him open. I'm like, dude, like, in big games, he's shown up, and he's been able to deliver. And I think this was a game five, where, you know, he wanted his team to seize control of the series. He stepped up. I would not be surprised though if next game he has a game where he has like 8 points, because that is Jamal Murray.
Sometimes it is like that with him. But as a playoff performer, I feel like he's been fairly consistent. It's just like in the regular season, do you get the best out of him?
No.
Every single night. Heck of a night tonight. I mean, this is the night that TNT has been dreaming of. Because you got the Warriors, Rockets, and Timberwolves, Lakers. We'll get into some of this a little bit more later. But do you think, Anthony, these series extend past tonight?
Yeah, I think the Lakers, they're going to take it one game at a time, just like LeBron did in 2016. Granted, he's not, you know, how many years ago? 9 years ago? So he's not 31. But
sure isn't.
He's going to relay that message to his team. Let's get one. Let's defend home court. And then we'll take it from there. So I think they get game five tonight on their home court.
Yeah, I do as well. I actually kind of think the Rockets might get one tonight as well. But we'll see. If Jimmy seems very ready to be done with old Dylan Buckets there. By the way, I forgot about this from the Pacers game. Mr. Haliburton.
That was crazy.
What are you doing? What is wrong with people, Anthony? In case you missed it, Tyrese Halliburton's dad, and again, we'll get into more preview of the Warriors, Rockets, and T-Wolves, Lakers later on in the show, but Tyrese Halliburton's dad is like taunting Giannis after the game. Like, get off the court. You're a player's dad. Your son's a grown adult, and that man's an NBA champion. And I have to give a ton of credit to Tyrese Halliburton, because Tyrese Halliburton is asked about it afterwards, and he's like, yeah, my dad was wrong there. Pops stepped out. That wasn't cool. And, like, good for Tyrese, but just, like, that's absolutely ridiculous behavior from a grown adult.
Yeah, I don't like when parents try to make the moment about themselves. Like, I like the way Kevin Durant's mom goes about it. She's on the sideline, like, just clapping up her son.
Shouts out to Wanda, the real MVP.
But, yeah, P. people going on the court, making the moment about themselves. That's how you steal away a moment from yourself. Like your son literally just hit a game winner. He's on the scores table. That's where your attention should be, not on in Giannis's face, who's a champion, who has, you know, one of those rings that your son wants. So it's just like wrong person to be talking trash to.
Yeah, I mean, even if it was to whoever else on the Bucks, like it makes it extra stupid that it's Giannis because you're like, buddy, do you know who that is? Like, he's an MVP, he's a champion, he's everything your son wants to be. And, you know, Tyrese would be the first person to say that. But just, you're dad. Like, congrats, you did a great job with your kid. Like, as a basketball player, he's doing quite well. Mm-hmm. Whatever you contributed genetically and in raising him, like, excellent work out of you. You sit on the sidelines. You don't get off the court. Get off the court. All right, when we get back, Capitals. They take the ice tonight, looking to end their round one series with the Canadiens. The game is not only on Monumental Sports Network, it's also on ESPN, which means we can talk about it with ESPN's Sean McDonough. He joins us in 3 minutes on the Team 980.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Of course, we are on YouTube as well at the Team 980 if you'd like to watch the show. And if you'd like to watch the Capitals tonight, of course, you have the great Joe B on Monumental Sports Network locally. Or if you want the national broadcast, Sean McDonough on the play-by-play. And Sean joins us now. Sean, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Happy to be with you. How are you today?
Doing great. It's an exciting day. Caps can obviously close this out, and it's been an interesting series. Series has been tight, but ultimately the Capitals a 3-1 here. What do you think the biggest difference in this series has been? The Caps' ability to close out these games and ultimately give themselves a little bit of padding here going into Game 5?
Yeah, I think it's been a very close series. And I was just sitting here reading some of the articles preparing for the game tonight. Caden Gooley, the defenseman from Montreal, said, you know, he feels like they could have won every game, and you could make an argument for that. You know, I think the biggest thing is just, in my opinion, Washington has the better team. You know, obviously they were considerably better in terms of the point totals in the regular season, winning the President's Trophy. I just think they have a little more depth. You know, they can rely on other lines other than their top line for scoring, and I think that'll be enhanced if they get Alexi Protas back in the series, which will be, you know, a big part of the storyline tonight, whether or not he's able to go. And, you know, Montreal really relies very heavily on that first line with Suzuki between Slavkovsky and Caulfield. You know, it's a terrific line, but I think they need to get more from the other players. So, yeah, I think Washington's the bigger team, more physical team. I think they're the more talented team. And, you know, ultimately, that's why they're finding a way to win the closer games.
Obviously, when those top lines are out there facing off against each other, we've seen the impact Tom Wilson has had. And Tom's career, I think everyone in D.C., especially Caps fans, know, like, guy that kind of started off as a rough and tumble, a protector, somewhere between, you know, goon or whatever you want to say. And then you knew he could develop into far more than that. And then he became top line Tommy here, where he is a guy that they rely upon. And his ability to keep his cool, stay in the moment, obviously still be ultra physical, and that fight that spills over into the benches in game four. But what have you made of Wilson's maturity over the years and maturation as a player, as a person, as a leader, and how that's impacted this series?
Yeah, I think you really hit on it in what you just said. You know, he's become, to me, one of the best, most impactful players in the league. You know, he's the only player in the league in the regular season with 30 or more goals and 200 or more hits. So that's a pretty special package of skills. So, you know, he's a 33-goal scorer. He helps you on the power play a lot. And obviously, you know, he has set the tone for the physicality in this series. And it's, you know, all the playoff series, it seems to me, have been really physical. But, you know, the hit on Carrier the other night, I think, stands out among every other hit in any of these eight series in the first round. And I'm guessing that Carrier is not going to play tonight. So, you know, he's a big part of their success. And, you know, he's just not a physical guy anymore. You know, he's a really talented power forward who, you know, helps you in every zone in the rink.
Sean McDonough with us, of course, play-by-play for ESPN. They've got the game tonight, Game 5, Capitals, Canadiens. You can check that out also on the radio side over on 106.7 The Fan. If you're driving home, then flip on Sean and company when you get there. So, Sean...
Joe Beninati, the great Joe Beninati. He's awesome.
Of course.
Locker's awesome. I hope we get Locker back tonight. You know, they're one of the great broadcast teams in the NHL. You know, I think they're as good as anybody, and Capital fans are really blessed. And, you know, I think they've been together now for almost 30 years, and, you know, great information, great chemistry. You know, they're the whole package. So I totally understand, you know, people like their own hometown announcers. We love them to watch ESPN, but we certainly are understanding if, at least they give a peek to Joe and Locker every now and then.
Of course. I mean, we love our hometown announcers when they're as good as Joe B and Locker. And so
they're
best.
They really are. I watch all these, you know, when preparing for these games throughout the year, you watch a lot of the local. Remember, I watched Joe and Alan May, their broadcast of Game 4 this morning, preparing. And part of the reason you do it is, you know, Joe has so much great information that I'm sitting here busily scribbling away and writing down notes from his preparation. So, and he's been a great resource over the last, we've been back in the NHL for 4 years now. And anytime we have a Caps game, Joe is exceedingly generous with his time and sharing his knowledge and information. And yeah, I really think I said this to him not too long ago, that he'll someday win the Foster Hewitt Award, you know, be in the broadcasters part of the Hockey Hall of Fame, because he's one of the greats of this era.
He deserves it. But there's no, Sean, there's no like chippiness like there is on the ice. You guys are tired of seeing each other. You don't give Joe a little bump in the hallway as you pass him on the way to your respective booths.
Joe.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
He's one of the few broadcasters in the NHL I'm actually a little bit bigger than, too. So,
you guys
are get physical in the hallway. I'd like my chances.
Who was it? Hudson and Leonard the other night that just kind of held hands and said, if this thing goes down, we're gonna soft punch each other in the chest. That's you and Joe.
Yeah. And you know what? That's interesting, right? Because being a Bostonian, that's Boston College and Boston University, which is as heated and spirited a rivalry as there is in college hockey. So it's nice that they could hold hands and sing kumbaya. I'm sure that didn't happen during their college days.
No, and I'm sure some of their former college teammates weren't thrilled about it either. But we can figure that or save that for another day. Sean McDonough is with us here on the Hoffman Show. Obviously, the biggest question going into Game 4, Sean, was would Logan Thompson play? And if so, how would he play? How do you think that he played? Obviously, the Caps got the win. And how concerning is this injury potentially looming and affecting him tonight and on through what we hope is a long Caps playoff run?
Yeah, I think he played well, and he really didn't show any lingering impact, you know, from the collision that took him out of the previous game. So, Yeah, I would say, based on that tape I just referenced, I watched, that he's fine. I don't think they would have put him out there if he wasn't, especially with, you know, such an excellent option like Lindgren. So, you know, I assume he's fine. You know, obviously the bigger goaltending question is on the other side, because, you know, it doesn't sound like Sam Montembeau is going to play tonight. And although I think, you know, Dobesh has been very good in the games he's played in and is a really excellent backup himself and has, you know, proven to be a talented guy. So I don't think there's really been much drop off in the goaltending on either side.
The last time the Capitals won a playoff series was the one in Las Vegas where they won the Stanley Cup back in 2018, which is wild to think about. That one, that was somehow already 6 years ago, and two, that they haven't figured out how to get one win in a playoff series since, considering some of the teams that they've had. But we also know that in the NHL, closing out series is incredibly difficult. In any sport, the sense of desperation a team has with their backs against the wall is real. So what is the thing that you're going to be looking for Washington to try to set the tone, or for Montreal tonight to make sure that they don't to switch sports here, wind up like what the Miami Heat did the other night, where they just like, okay, we're done here and lay down? What are some of the early first period kind of indicators you're looking for tonight to see the intensity, the level, the ability to close for Washington in this game five?
Well, I do think it's important. And I do think, you know, as we're chatting, it's one of the interesting aspects of whether or not Protas plays, because, you know, he's been practicing now for several days. It looks like if he's not ready, he's really close. So, you know, if you're the Caps, do you put him out there? Because, as you said, you know, when you have a chance to bury a team, you should go ahead and bury him, because you never know what might happen should Montreal win tonight. I mean, we saw Ottawa win last night in Toronto, down 3-1, and now there's a lot of pressure on the Maple Leafs, particularly, you know, as this goes back to Ottawa for game six, especially given their history. So part of me would say, yeah, if Protas can play, he should play, because they're a better team with him, and he was one of the best players in the league this year, and try to end this series. The other part of me thinks, well, you know, they win tonight, they're going to have some days off here before the next round starts, so maybe you give them 3 or 4 or 5, however many days it's going to turn out to be, more days, because it sounds like it was a very significant skate cut. And let him really be raring to go when the Carolina series rolls around. So, but I do think it's another reason why it's important. I mean, Carolina ended its series last night. So, you know, I think it's incumbent upon the Caps to end theirs tonight. So the rest situation is similar. You know, if you wind up going to 6 games or 7 games with Montreal and, you know, get even more banged up, I think they would be at a competitive disadvantage starting the next series with Carolina.
And we know that Carolina's been a thorn in Washington's side all year, a year where they were the best team in the East, but Carolina seemed to have their number more than a time or two. Last thing for Sean McDonough here, of course, play-by-play on ESPN. They've got the game tonight, game five between the Capitals and the Canadiens. Sean, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Ovechkin on the way out here. You've obviously, as you just said, ESPN's been back in the NHL for about 4 years now covering the games, and you've certainly been a fan longer. You've seen Alex's entire career, and we see the record this year. What's it been like getting to know him the last couple of years, covering some of the games, and what was your reaction to the record-breaking goal that he scored in the record that he now holds as the NHL's all-time leading goal scorer that he attained this season?
Yeah, it's awesome. Obviously, you know, it's been a big part, you know, really the biggest part, I think, of this National Hockey League regular season was the Grade 8 chase, and people were caught up in it. And I think, you know, when he broke his leg there in the middle of the season and missed 16 games or so, a lot of us thought, well, you know, he's not going to do it this year. But, you know, to go out and score as many goals as he did in the sample of games that he played in, the limited number of games, you know, and that's been one of the great things about his career, is he's been so durable and missed so few games, which is even more remarkable when you consider how physical he is and has been, again, in this series, you know, really set the physical tone in the first couple of games. So, it's remarkable. Yeah, I worried about it last year, to be quite honest. You know, I thought the beginning of last year, you kind of wondered, you know, is he coming to the end? It didn't look like he was in particularly good shape. And, you know, I think he might have even played his way into shape as the season went along. I know Spencer Carberry talked to him at the end of last season about, you know, coming back really ready to go from day one of this season. And he did, you know, so he's phenomenal, one of the great players of all time, obviously, in addition to the goal scoring. And, you know, I'm looking forward to watching them play throughout the rest of these playoffs as long as they go. I think they have about as good a chance as anybody to win the whole thing.
Well, if they do make that deep run, hopefully, Sean, we'll be talking to you again. Appreciate your time here on Game Day.
After the first round, the great Joe Beninati and Monumental Sports, you know, they're no longer, which is, I feel bad for them because I feel bad the local teams can't go beyond the first round. So you're stuck with us.
You know, Sean, though, maybe Joe will have time for us then.
Decision. You know, we love Joe. We love Locker. We love their team. But, yeah, after this round, you're stuck with us.
Yeah, well, we love having you on, but maybe Joe will have time for us. And maybe we'll bug him and let you focus on the games.
Is Joe big time you? Am I going to take back all the nice things I said about Joe?
He's been on the show quite a bit, just not this playoffs. I think he's a busy man, and other people seem to be getting to him first. So I'll just go yell at my producer. No, I'm not going to do that. Anthony's a lovely young man, and he's doing a great job. Sean, thank you for the time. Really appreciate it, and we will certainly hopefully talk to you down the line as the Caps continue to go here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, Sam Fortier with the latest on the Commanders' move to RFK and a bigger picture retrospective as well on how we got to where we are now and where we still have to go, part of a larger conversation that Sam and I had over there on my couch earlier today here in the home studio. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well, on the free Odyssey app. And it was like right before actually Sam and I started taping, Anthony, that our phones went off and we saw the news that Jeff Ulbrich and the Falcons have both been fined for the prank call to Shedeur Sanders. Also, a lot of dudes got prank called. Abdul Carter said he got it. Josh Connerly told G&D yesterday that he got one. So there's a lot, but the Jax Ulbrich version is the one that got Shedeur. And it's so dumb. And it's the kind of thing that a dumb 21-year-old does. And it's a reminder that 21-year-olds are mostly dumb. Even those of us that thought we were pretty smart at 21, we were probably pretty dumb. Your prefrontal cortex isn't fully developed yet. And the things that you think are fun are just stupid. And your ability to assess risk and interpret what the impact you have on others, not developed. And so that makes Jack Ulbrich a 21-year-old who had access to information he shouldn't, and also someone who grew up in the social media age who thought that this would be fun to tape and put out on the internet and like, this will be funny. It's like, no, you absolute moron. You will get like, if you're trying to do something funny, that's coy. The whole idea is you don't get caught. And the fact that he did not even think that getting caught would be consequential tells you exactly who we're dealing with here. But Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, and of course, if you're sort of like, what are you talking about? Shedeur Sanders got prank called on draft day by Jax Ulbrich, the 21-year-old son of Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator and former Jets interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich. Ulbrich gets fined $100,000. Falcons get fined $250,000. That seems very, like, almost unfair to the Falcons. Also, Anthony, have you ever cost Big Tony $100,000? In one shot?
Nah, I would never put myself in a position.
The closest I've come is when I said, hey, Dad, I'm going to Syracuse. Tuition. Bang.
Yeah.
At least I got an education out of it. And it led to Sean McDonough being on the show in the last segment. So take that.
Nah, this was an insane incident. And I just couldn't believe they put it on Twitter and was like just eager to reveal it to the public. Like, you guys are going to get caught. Like, it's going to get, like, back to you guys somehow, some way.
That funny and, like, that not bad that they told on themselves. Yeah. That was so funny because, like, the NFL's like, we're going to launch an investigation. And it's like, of what? They put it on the internet.
Yeah.
You don't need Sherlock Holmes to figure that one out.
Yeah, I didn't get that. But definitely a cruel thing to do. And the fact other people were getting prank called as well. Like, Josh Connor, he wasn't the first. Like, I think they did that to Shedeur on day two, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure it was day two.
Well, that's my question. Did Jax Ulbrich do everybody, or is this just was he just Shador's? And how are these dudes' numbers all getting out?
Everybody.
I know, and the thing is, I know Shedeur changed his number.
No, he just wanted to go buy an entirely new phone just strictly for this process, guys.
Right, and exactly. So he had a private number that only the GMs and coaches and teams were supposed to have, and that's why it was so bad. But Ulbrich had to apologize today. And he See, the thing is, like, this is so over the top to me. My actions of not protecting confidential data were inexcusable. Obrick said at a news conference at the Falcons facility, my son's actions were absolutely inexcusable, and for that, we are both deeply sorry. Earlier in the day, the NFL fined the Falcons $250K, Obrick $100K in response to the situation. Like, Jax Obrick is a 21-year-old kid, and he stole a number off his dad's iPad. Like, I don't, it's not like, I don't know. Like, the idea, confidential data. If you leave your phone out in your own home, are you not doing enough to protect confidential data in this context? Like, it just seems like, I know the NFL has to be mad at someone. Mm-hmm. And I feel probably the NFL feels extra sensitive about Shador right now because there's a lot of people saying a lot of stuff about why he fell and whatever. But sometimes it's okay to just be like, this is a dumb kid who did a dumb thing. And, you know, and I don't want to say a dumb kid. I don't know Jax Olbrich. It's a kid. So I'm going to be the adult in the room. He's a kid who did a dumb thing. And he apologized. And Jeff Olbrich should apologize on behalf of his son. Jax Olbrich has apologized publicly and to Shador personally. And this whole thing is, it just feels like it's being made into a bigger deal than it actually is. And in that way, it kind of annoys me. And I'm not going to get too mad at, you know, it sucks for Jeff Olbrich, but he's made a decent amount of money as a coach over his career. And Arthur Blank and the Falcons, like, they got a bunch of money and the NFL's fines go to charity. So who cares? It's not my money, but it just, in some ways, it feels like this is being made into a lot bigger deal than it is. Because a kid pulled a dumb prank on essentially another kid, and we're getting mad at that. Like, in some ways, I don't know. I guess it's just, it feels like in some ways Jeff Olbrich's being fined for being a bad dad more so than he is not protecting confidential data.
Yeah, I mean,
and I don't know if that's fair to Jeff Olbrich because his son's an adult. He's 21 years old.
Yeah, I think at some point, like, the son, he apologized, but like, it's too late. Like, you should have known that your actions were going to possibly, potentially fall back on your dad. Like, inexcusable. But I feel bad for Jeff because he sort of kind of didn't bring this on himself.
No, I mean, look, if you, depending on what he is, it was his father, but like, we don't have insight into that.
Yeah.
But the, I didn't protect confidential data when your son like stole the number off your iPad. Seems dumb. As for Shador, his comments to Cleveland reporters, it didn't really have an impact on me because it was just like, I mean, okay, I don't feed into the negativity or I don't feed into that stuff. You've seen on his brother's YouTube video my reaction to it. I think, of course, it's childish. Of course, I feel like it was a childish act, but everyone does childish things here and there.
Craig, when I tell you that dude has a lot of like patience and the fact he doesn't, you know, overreact, I got to tip my hat to him because me, I would have been upset. I don't know how I would have reacted, but I know I wouldn't have been that calm, that cool, that collected.
Yeah. I mean, Shador's got a lot of eyes on him. Yeah. And he's had a lot of eyes on him. He's used to it, which, you know, could be actually very helpful to him as an NFL quarterback. We'll see how people around him handle it. And by that, I mean the quarterback stuff, not necessarily how he handled this situation. All right. That's it. That's all. For that, when we get back, top story of the day, still the Commanders' pursuit of RFK. That's going to be a big story for us over the next 3 months, 2.5 months until July when the city council votes on this. So, let's talk about it with Sam Fortier, Washington Post, who's been covering this thing from go, next on the Team 980.